Please turn back once again to the book of Exodus, this time to chapter 4, and we'll continue the story of the call of Moses. Keeping in mind that we're not going to look at this in depth, in totality, but we're focusing in on the exchange between God and Moses, and particularly Moses as he raises excuses and questions for why he should not go to Egypt. And we're going to see how God responds to that. And I think there's a lot for us to learn because we're a lot like Moses. So let's give our attention to the Word of God. Once again, there is an outline in the bulletin if you would like to use that. Exodus 4, picking up at verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 20. And this is after God has said that he is going to bring his people out of Egypt. Verse 1, then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to me, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please, let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word tonight. Let's stop and ask for his blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you for this story that you have recorded for us in your scriptures that's inspired, breathed out by you. And we ask now, as we've just sung, that you would teach us your way, O Lord, that we might walk in your truth and unite our hearts as well to fear your name. Let this not just be a mental activity. Let our hearts be drawn to faith in you. Lord, we know that your word is able to make us wise to salvation, to teach us, to equip us for every good work. And so we pray that you would use it now in us for those ends and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we make excuses? Why do we make excuses for not doing what we know we really ought to do? Why did Moses, this great deliverer, this man of faith, this prophet of God, this hero, why did he make excuses when called by God? And how did God respond to him? How did God answer him? Well, as we'll see here, I think one of the main reasons Moses made so many excuses and raised so many questions is because his focus was really on himself. Certainly, this is an amazing event in his life. God appearing to him as an old man out watching his sheep, speaking to him through a burning bush, calling him to this great work. But Moses gets all wrapped up in himself. How he felt. What he feared. What he thought he could or couldn't do. What he thought might go wrong. And I think many of us are similar, aren't we? When you and I do the same thing, when our focus is on ourselves, when our confidence is rooted in what we can or can't do, we can so easily have excuse after excuse. And some of them are even legitimate. And certainly there are times, there are valid reasons why we may have to wait or let someone else take a particular role. But all of the illegitimate excuses that we make, the fears and the limitations and the worry and the uncertainty and lack of desire, all of that melts away in the face of the awesome character of God and the Word of God. That's what we see in this story. God had an answer for every one of Moses' excuses. One by one, he answered them, and he did so by redirecting Moses' gaze to himself. In fact, what we see is that God himself really was the answer. And he had to become Moses' focus. Now, you are not going to be called by God from a burning bush to go to Egypt. But God does call you to do difficult things in a world of opposition and unbelief, in the face of real fear and weakness and uncertainty. And a key lesson from this story that I want us to see tonight is that the same God who answered Moses will help you and will help me as well. He will equip you and be with you in what he calls you to. So often we need to take our focus off of ourselves and off of our excuses, which only paralyze us and sideline us, and put it on God. Trust him and his answers. And so, brothers and sisters and children, when the excuses arise, when you know God has called you to do something, to serve him in a particular way, to forsake a particular sin, to overcome an obstacle, to obey him, and when those excuses start to come, don't look to yourself. Don't focus on the difficulties and the fears, but rather look to the Lord. Listen to him. Focus on him. Trust him. Because as he was for Moses, he will be with you. He is the great I Am as he reveals himself to Moses, as he reveals his name. He is powerful. He's gracious. And you can trust him. And so, brothers and sisters, know that the powerful, gracious I Am is with you. And trust in him. Well, let's jump into this story together. And I want to look at each one of these excuses one by one and also the answer that God gives to them in this passage. And so we'll just go through these quickly. And the first excuse or objection that Moses raises is, who am I? Who am I? Look at verse 10 and 11 of chapter 3. God says to Moses, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so there is this great need. There's a great work to be done. Rescuing slaves, God's children, out of Egypt. And God comes to Moses and says, you are the man. I've chosen you. I want you to bring them out of Egypt. I'm sending you. And Moses right away responds, you've got the wrong man. There's no way I'm going. Who am I? I think we have to be sympathetic with him here. Think about what he was thinking. Who am I to go to Pharaoh, one of the most powerful men in all the world, and tell him to his face, I'm taking your labor force. You don't have a choice. You're giving them to me. Let them go. Who am I to lead this great multitude of people that they're going to have a lot of issues and a lot of needs? I'm one person. I'm 80 years old at this point. I'm a backwoods shepherd for the last 40 years. Who am I? You've got the wrong guy. I'm a nobody. I'm not qualified. Now notice Moses doesn't say, well, God, this can't be done. This is impossible. Or it's really not important. Or it's a bad idea. He just says basically, no, not me. Who am I? God, there's got to be someone else, someone younger, someone wiser, more experienced, more godly, more strong, more qualified. And friends, don't you often feel the same way? A difficult task is laid before you from God's word, or in a sermon, or from a loved one, by the church, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, by a providence of God in your life, and your response, your excuse is, but who am I? This is not for me. No, Lord, I can't. Look how God responds. Does he say, okay, Moses, yeah, you're right. I overestimated you. I'll find someone else. Or, too bad for my people. I guess they won't be delivered. No, he doesn't ignore Moses' excuse, but he answers it. And he answers it with himself and with a promise. Look at verse 12. He said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. And you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. God basically says, Moses, I don't actually really care who you are or who you think you are. It doesn't really matter because I've chosen you and I've called you and I know who you are. And here's the key. He says, I will be with you. I'm going to be with you, Moses. You think you're a nobody. You think you're unqualified. Well, I don't need a somebody. You're the man. You're qualified because of me. And in one sense, Moses is right to distrust himself and question himself. Humility is good. But God says, I will be with you. I promise. Trust me. Focus on me, not yourself. And you'll see how this can work. And he gives him a promise. I promise you will worship me back here on this mountain. That mountain is Mount Sinai. One day you're going to be able to look back and be able to say, he was with me. He kept his promises. I didn't think I was the right guy. I didn't think I could do it, but he could. Who am I? But God says, don't think so much about who you are. Think about who I am. I am God, and I am with you, and I will keep my promises. And friends, God gives that same promise to you and to me over and over again in the Scriptures. I will be with you. And so when you have excuses, he says, your focus is in the wrong place. It's on the wrong person. Be humble, yes. But don't say, who am I, in order to wiggle out of what God is calling you to. Don't say, who am I, but think about who I am, who God is. I am with you. Jesus promised this, some of his last words to the church before he ascended to heaven. I will be with you to the end of the age. He sent us his Holy Spirit to be with us, to empower us and enable us. He's also made promises about our future as well, that we will worship him not on Mount Sinai, but in his very presence forever in glory. One day we'll be able to look back and say, he was right. He was with me. Who are any of us? Who are we to deserve God's love and grace, to be called to live for and serve him, to do anything for him? Who are we apart from him? But we are not apart from him. We are not alone. He is with us. What a promise. That's the first excuse and God's first response. But Moses still has questions. He still has excuses. And the second one is, but what will I say? What will I say? Look at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? What shall I say? Moses starts to think about the task God has called him to, with God's promise to be with him, but he starts to anticipate objections and questions, being on the spot. And so he says to God, what will I say? What do I say to them when they want you identified? When they want to see my credentials? Well, who sent you? Who are you? What do I say to other possible questions? What's the plan here, God? How can we trust you? And God answers this question, this excuse, again with himself. And he reveals his character and his identity and his name to Moses. And this is an awesome and well-known verse. Look at verse 14. This is God's response. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. We could spend hours unpacking that revelation of God, that name of God, which has to do with how God reveals himself in both word and deed. This name, I am who I am, captures his sovereign, independent, self-sustaining, self-existing being as the living God, the Creator, the Lord. He essentially says to Moses, Moses, tell them, I am who I am. I am the God who always has been. I am the God who is and was and will be. I am the God who exists in and of myself. The eternal God who created the heavens and the earth. What will you say? Say this. Tell them about me. Give them my name. And so again, God is saying, Moses, focus on me, who I am. Think about my self-existence, my authority, my divine being. Tell them it's me. And he goes on and gives Moses even more details to tell them. And so Moses' second question, his second excuse, is thoroughly answered with God, with his character, his name, his existence. God says, point them to me. Speak about me. Tell them who I have told you I am and what I'll do. Are you afraid of not knowing what to say at times? Are you afraid of difficult questions? Do you think to yourself sometimes, well, but what will I say? I won't know what to tell people. I won't know what to say to my lost friend or my lost neighbor, to that visitor, that stranger, that person struggling or grieving, or sometimes I don't even know what to say to myself. God has called us to speak the truth, to be witnesses, to love one another, and certainly there are times to be silent. But we can often shrink back with excuses. Maybe this is one of them. What will I say? Sometimes we'd rather say nothing, but then our focus is like Moses. It's on ourselves. It's not on God or those who need Him. And so, friends, remember who God is. Focus on Him, not yourself. Think about His name and His attributes. Speak of His existence and His character. What you know is true of Him. Well, that can lead to another excuse, as it does for Moses. And the third one that he raises is, they will not listen. They're not going to listen to me. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Moses is trying to reason with God and say, "But God, they're not going to listen to me." But you know what's striking here? Moses says they won't listen, but who's the one not listening? It's Moses. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. God has just said this to him. "And they will listen to your voice." They will listen to you. God has just told him they're going to listen. And Moses, who is so much like us, at least so much like me, says, "Yeah, but they won't listen." How often is that your excuse or something similar? When you think of sharing the gospel, talking to your children, speaking to someone that you may be in conflict with, or even speaking the truth to yourself, have you made this excuse? And it's true, we can't dictate other people's response. We can't make people listen. We can't work faith in people. But again, our focus and our trust is in the wrong place. Of course we can't. Of course we don't know how people will respond to our words. And they won't listen if it's just up to us and them. And God knows all this. And so look at His answer to Moses, to this third excuse. Verse 2 through 5 in chapter 4. And really it goes beyond that. But verse 2, "The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.' So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Moses, God says, you're so focused on yourself. Focus on me and my power. I can make that staff in your hand into a snake. And let me give you some signs of my power that will confirm your words and confirm the fact that I am the one sending you." And he gives him a series of miraculous signs: the leprous hand, and then pouring out the water, which turns into blood. Signs of his power. And so God's answer again is himself and his power. "I will help them listen. I will help them believe." Now I grant that God does not confirm his word in this way with miraculous signs through prophets today. And I would guess that Pastor Rice does not have a staff like this. Okay. But has not God shown his power all around us in the created world? Has he not shown his power to you in your life and in his word? Has he not shown his power in the greatest sign of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave? Moses had legitimate questions and concerns, but the God who speaks, the God who calls Moses and you and me to speak the truth, is the God who has power to open ears, to convince and to convert hearts. And so when you think you or others will not listen, will not hear God or His word or the truth, God calls you. When God calls you to lead or to speak, to share the gospel, to encourage a friend, to confront someone with the truth, whatever the situation, Look to Him. Trust in Him. Remember His power. Think about the staff. Think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is powerful. He can open closed ears. That's the third excuse, and that leads us to yet another excuse, the fourth excuse. Moses has been told God will be with him. He's been told what to say. He's been told they will listen, and here are signs of my power. But then Moses says, and you can sense the desperation building in him. He says, well, that's nice, God, but I can't speak. I haven't told you this yet, but I can't speak. That's his fourth excuse. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. After God gives him these miraculous signs, Moses is still not convinced that he wants to do this. Verse 10, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses has a comeback for every response of God. He has an answer, an excuse for each of God's answers. And this time it's, God, I can't speak. Okay, maybe they will listen, but I'm not eloquent. They're certainly not going to listen to me. I'm slow of speech. But had God said that was necessary? Did God say, well, you need to be a really good public speaker, you know, Moses? Moses, once again, he turns the focus back to himself and he tries to convince God he's just not cut out. He's not gifted. He doesn't have what it takes. And I think we can often do the same thing as well. In fact, we tend to slide into one of two extremes. On the one hand, pride. We think far too highly of ourselves. We think we're overqualified. And we're not right. But then on the other hand, there's false humility, thinking too little of ourselves. And this is what Moses does here. He uses the, well, I have nothing to offer. I'm not good. I'm not gifted. He uses that excuse. But we know from Acts 7:22 says, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of Egypt, and he was mighty in word and deed. Because of his upbringing, God had uniquely prepared Moses to speak and to lead and to go to Egypt and to bring out his people. And again, humility is good. But unfounded excuses that deny God's gifts and his grace to help, that is not good. And so he says, I can't speak. And maybe there was something to that, and God helped him to become strong in word and deed. But you can see Moses is just trying to get out of this calling from God. But how does God respond? How does God answer this excuse? Look at verse 11 and 12. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. God says, Moses, I'm the creator. I made your mouth. I will equip you. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what to say. And so once again, God answers Moses by saying, look to me, trust me, get your focus and your faith off of yourself and get it where it needs to be. You're just trying to get out of an uncomfortable, difficult job. You're just trying to get what you want. But your calling is to obey me and trust me. Friends, do you ever make this excuse? Well, I can't speak. Or fill in the blank. God, I'm just not gifted at whatever it is for you. I'm not good at this or that. Let someone else do it. I don't have anything to offer. The people of God, the God who calls you to speak, to serve, to obey, to glorify Him, to do difficult things, many different things, and not all of us are gifted in the same way. But whatever it might be, He who calls you is the Creator. He knows you. He's made you who you are. He's made your mouth and your hands and your eyes. You belong to Him, and if He calls you to something, He will equip you and enable you to carry that task out. He will be with you. Well, that's the fourth excuse, and it leads then to the last and probably the worst. Moses is still not done and says, fifth and finally, God, just send someone else. Send someone else. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Moses still doesn't have his focus on God, does he? He's really not listened, it would seem, to everything God has said. He is not trusting in God. And so finally, stubbornly and selfishly, he just flat out says, "Send someone else. I am not doing this." This is foolishness and hard-heartedness. We can sympathize and understand Moses, but it's not right. He's so wrapped up in himself, he begs God to let him off the hook, to send someone else, and God is rightly angered. We're not going to look at the full response here, but God is angered. But what I hope you saw when I read this earlier is that God is also gracious. He doesn't give in to Moses and say, "All right, you're off the hook." He also doesn't destroy Moses in his anger. He's right to be angry with Moses' lack of faith and stubborn self-focus, but he is also gracious, and he provides Aaron to come alongside Moses. So God's answer to this final excuse is really His grace and His provision. Moses, by this time, doesn't deserve this job, this high calling. But God is gracious and still uses him with the help of Aaron. But we can easily end up where Moses does here, can't we? "God, just please, not me. Send someone else, anyone else." And sometimes he does. God is also gracious, and He provides the help and the support that we need, often when we fully resign ourselves to trust Him. He knows us better than we do. He knows our real limitations and weaknesses. He's gracious and patient. You know the rest of the story. God is not thwarted by the stubbornness and folly of man. Moses could have done another dozen excuses. But God is determined to save His people out of Egypt. And He will use even Moses as a part of that plan, and it will bring Him glory. And friends, the same is true today. God will save His people despite working through weak, flawed human means, human messengers, human servants. And that is such an encouragement. And He has done so, and He will do so because of Jesus Christ. And it's never been about the strength or power or glory of man, but His. Can you imagine Jesus being called to go to earth to save sinners? Can you imagine Him saying this? "Send someone else." And we would be in trouble if that had been His response. What if in the counsel of God, as the plan of redemption was laid out in eternity past, God the Son said to the Father, "Send someone else. I don't want to go. I'm not going to become man. It's too hard. I'm not the right one. I don't want to suffer and die." And yet that was not His response. He made no excuse. He left glory. He came to earth. He became a man. He opened not His mouth even to death, He willingly carried out God's task to lead his people out of a far worse Egypt, out of slavery to sin and death. And unlike Moses, he was perfectly qualified in himself to carry out that mission without fail. He was the only one who could do it, and he did it for your salvation. Thanks be to God. And it's ultimately because of Christ's perfect, faithful service that you and I and people like Moses can serve God. And friends, I don't know what excuses you make when God calls you to obey Him or serve Him. I don't know what may be keeping you tonight from following God's call in any number of things. I don't know what you think about yourself, but I do know that all of us have Moses' nature. We're quick to focus on ourselves, to make excuses, to forget the power and promises of God, and that's really a lack of faith. That's poor theology. It's a denial of God's word and His power and His grace and His promises. That's taking our eyes off of Christ. And it shows we don't really know God as we should, because, friends, God uses Moses. God uses people who are not confident in themselves, who are not perfect, who don't have it all together, but they are confident in Him. People who could come up with every excuse in the book, but instead trust Him in His book. And this is one way that God grows us and stretches us and glorifies Himself. And Christ is still at work today in and through imperfect, weak people. He is with them by His Spirit like He was with Moses. Well, can you see here in this story how one by one God answers these excuses with Himself? And do you know how this part of the story ends? Well, Moses is able to trust God, and he goes to Egypt, and God keeps His word. Let me read the last few verses of chapter 4 to you, picking up in verse 29. Then, and this is when they're in Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. Then verse 31, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that He had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. And that's how this story ends. Of course, it leads into the longer story of the deliverance out of Egypt. And I don't know how your particular stories will end, but I do know that when you come to the end, you are not going to wish that you had made more excuses in your life. You're not going to wish you had been more self-focused rather than God-focused. You're not going to come to the end and think to yourself, I did too much for the Lord. I did too much for others. No, I think you will be humbled and grateful for what He called you to, even though it was hard. And even though you didn't feel ready and able, I think you'll wish that you would have trusted Him all the more all along and stepped out and stepped up in faith. I also know that because of Christ, you will be able to look back and see that He always kept His word. He was worthy of your trust. And you will be able to see Him face to face in all His power and glory and grace. And so tonight, brothers and sisters and children, trust Him. Trust God, the powerful, gracious I Am who sent His only Son, says, I am with you. Look not to yourself. Look to Me. Don't make excuses. Listen to Me and trust Me. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You include stories like this that show us human weakness that we can really identify with, and yet also shows us your power, your grace, and your promises, and that great promise that you give again and again to be with your people. So Lord, as we struggle through this life, as we find it easy so often to make excuses, when we know what you've called us to, we pray that instead we would fix our eyes on you, we would fix our eyes on Christ. We thank you and praise you that he faithfully and perfectly fulfilled that which you called him to, so that we might have eternal life. We pray that you would enable us to fix our eyes on him, and we pray in his name. Amen.